So our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. And some of you might remember that last week in my sermon, I mentioned that we would be celebrating something this Sunday, and that something is the baptism of the Lord, the day that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And this is the story of that event in Mark's Gospel. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased."
Our second scripture reading today comes from Acts chapter 19. Listen again for God's word. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul the apostle passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them." This is God's word for us this morning. Tammy sent me an article last week that she found on Facebook. It was titled, "10 Incredibly Smart Ideas to Get Your Life Organized in 2015. Which I don't know if that says something about what she thinks of my organizational skills, but the article states, if your New Year's resolutions include getting organized, this is the month to get started. January is Get Organized Month. Here are 10 tips on how to get organized in the new year. It contains many good and practical ideas, like spending 15 minutes a day organizing papers or throwing out mystery food from the refrigerator, or putting clothes away, or collecting and safely storing in one place all those user IDs and passwords we create online, or getting ruthless with your closet and getting rid of those clothes we never wear, some of which will never fit again because high school is over and it is never coming back. It's been a helpful list of things to do. Simple, straightforward. It's made a good start to the new year for us and some new order in our house. I'm even seeing new space there. A good start is how I would describe the 12 disciples Paul encountered in Ephesus in our odd little story today from the book of Acts. They too had a good start to faith, but it is also clear that it was only a start in their discipleship. When Paul met them, it didn't take long in talking with them to discover that something wasn't quite right. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized?" Paul asked the believers in Ephesus. "What's the Holy Spirit?" they replied. Now, if you're Paul, what do you ask now? "Well, so tell me, into what exactly were you baptized?" "Well, water." "Yes, that's right. We were baptized into water." "Well, that's not exactly what I meant," Paul said. "Oh, you're looking for a theological answer. We were baptized into John's baptism." Paul furrowed his brow. It looks like we need to back up a step or two. John's was a baptism for repentance, to get ready for Jesus. It was a good start. Then he explained all the differences. Oh, they reply, now we get it. And they were baptized, this time in the name of Jesus. This time they did get it. They received the Holy Spirit, and signs and wonders of the Spirit's presence in their lives quickly followed their baptism. And at the conclusion of the service, there were 12 more people in Ephesus, like those first 12 at Pentecost and 108 in Jerusalem, filled with the Holy Spirit, making them new and powerful witnesses for the gospel. Paul's powerful questions reveal what turns a good start into a true life of faith. How often does our faith have a good start and that's it? What's the next step in our faith after who we are and what we have now? Where's the Spirit in our lives? And how do we live into the fullness of faith rather than just its beginning? I mean, in some ways, this story reminds me of conversations I have with people regularly about faith. They want to know how to get started. They join the church. They get involved. They baptize their kids. Their children go to church, school, and confirmation. They get confirmed. But then what? I mean, it's all a good start, but what happens next? What are we doing to turn a good start into the fullness of what God wants to do in us and through us? It's like we're Advent people more often than we're people of the whole story of our faith. We're good at decorating the church for Advent. We're good at lighting candles and preparing ourselves for the one who is to come. We talk about hope and joy and love and faith and listen to the lives of disciples around the manger. We sing Advent songs and Christmas carols. We even set up a nativity for everyone to see, and we put the baby Jesus in the manger on Christmas Day. But then it all goes back into the storage boxes at the end of the season for another year. And if we're not careful, so does our faith. Instead of entering into the fullness of why Jesus came, we keep getting ready as if he hasn't come yet. That's what happened to the people in Ephesus. A missionary preacher named Apollos had come to town and preached about the one who is to come. He baptized them with water after they repented of their sins. It was the same message that John the Baptist had preached out in the wilderness. It was a message of Advent, of preparing, of getting yourself ready. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, John said. I am not worthy to stoop down and to untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. People responded to John and Apollos. They repented of their sins. They did what the word repent means. They turned their lives around. They got ready. They were baptized in water. And that was it. The Bible tells us that Apollos was a really good preacher. He was devoted to his craft, and he was passionate about spreading his message. Only his message wasn't quite accurate. He didn't know the fullness of the message about Jesus or the Spirit, or that the Spirit was now in the world after Christ, after what Christ had done. Two other believers, Priscilla and Aquila, had to straighten him out. We don't know what they said to him, but we can guess. He didn't know the rest of John's message had come true. That Jesus had come and done all that he was sent to do. That Jesus had died for our sins and was raised to new life. That the Holy Spirit was now present in the world, just as John had predicted. And that every time a person is baptized in the name of Jesus, they receive the same Spirit as the seal of God's good news. Every time a person is baptized, they are buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. And God's Spirit, God gives them that Spirit with the same power. Apollos didn't catch that part of John's message, that the Spirit is here now. God's kingdom is among us, around us, in us. I mean, it may sound strange to those of us who live in the story of the Christian faith throughout the year, but this still happens. And it happens to us. Maybe we know the full story of God's love in Jesus Christ and how the Spirit enters our lives to lead and guide us, especially at our baptism. But if someone were to ask you what the Christian story is, what would your life and your choices and your thoughts say the story is? Is it about how sinful we are? Is it about how great our church is? I mean, we live what we think the story is. And sometimes we think that faith is more about what it isn't than what it is. Many times I hear people define their faith in life by what they are not more than who they are as people baptized and filled with the Spirit. I mean, you know what I mean. We're not Methodists. We're not Catholics with all their rules. We're not Baptists and other holy rollers. I mean, just look at the weird things they do and how people don't know what we know. We're not exclusive. I mean, this is religious people are notorious about saying these things. But we do it in life as well. We're not like those people who are racist or homophobic. We're not like those people who blindly believe whatever the preacher tells them. We're not like those people on the other side of the political aisle. We're not like those people who don't know how to say thank you or complain all the time. As Lillian Daniel said when she was here in December at our church, it's a good start. At least we know what we're not. But it doesn't really explain who or what we are. Who are we? All the Ephesians could say is we are people who have repented of our sin and been baptized in water. It's a good start, but it's not the whole story. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, happened when Paul told them the good news of life in Christ, that God raises us to new life in Christ and fills us in baptism with God's Spirit. Those 12 Ephesians were baptized into that baptism, Jesus' baptism. And afterward, they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. They didn't just do that for show, just to prove that the Holy Spirit was in them now. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied because baptism and the Spirit are necessarily linked together. We are baptized so that we can know the fullness of God's kingdom now. We are baptized so that we can know the Spirit's presence and power in our lives and the gifts we are given to love and serve the Lord and this world God loves so much. The Spirit isn't optional equipment like when we're going to buy a car. The same Spirit that entered Jesus at his baptism enters us at our baptisms so that we may follow God's will and live the kingdom of God here and now and make a difference. So what if we started living as if God's kingdom is here and now? What if the Spirit of God is already present in our lives and our life together and we only need to become more aware of it? What if the Spirit of God has given us all the gifts that we need to not only start this new year, start our faith in some new way, but live into it in fullness? What's that next step in our faith journey that will turn a good start for us into a way of life? Today we ordain and install new deacons and elders. We do not ordain and install them to fill slots or because we need warm bodies. We do it because in their baptism, God sealed God's Spirit of love and grace in their lives. In their baptisms, God called them beloved. We ordain them and install them because the same Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in them, equipping them to lead our church, to serve the people, and to connect us to God's work in the world. But they're not the only ones here today and in our church who have been gifted with and by the Spirit. We are all God's sons and daughters. We are all beloved by God. We all have been given the gift of the Spirit. That very same Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in you and in me and gives us the gifts and abilities to serve God. So how will we live our faith in this new year so that good news isn't just a good start, but it's the very core of who we are? How will we live the whole story of God's news here and now rather than just the parts that we want to focus on? Our answers will turn a good start into knowing and following the Spirit of God with life and with purpose. Amen.